This is The Rock, Bill Latson. Welcome to Newsmakers. My guest is Hall of Famer Don Sutton. He talks about the Braves and the art of pitching. Here's what he had to say. Enjoy the podcast. I'm with one of the best pitchers that ever lived in baseball, Don Sutton. He's now a play-by-play guy for the Atlanta Braves. Don, thank you so much for being with me. Don, it's almost 30 years in the broadcast booth. Talk about your career in the broadcast booth.
Well, it's something I wanted to do. I wanted to stay in baseball. I started thinking about this about my fourth year in the big leagues, that I wanted to stay in baseball. I didn't have enough money to be an owner. I didn't think I was going to get a job running the minor leagues, so this seemed natural. I love coming to the park. I love watching the game, and I want people at home to love the game as much as I do, and I like the responsibility of letting the people who can't be there know what's going on. So it just seemed like a natural, and I was fortunate when I was playing that I watched TBS all the time. And so when it was over and winding down, I stayed in touch with them. Mm-hmm. And as soon as my career was over, they asked me if I'd be interested in coming to Atlanta and working, and it was a dream come true.
Which is better, playing or being behind the booth?
I think I like this better. I honestly, and I've got to explain that now. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in the world better than being a pitcher. The other 4 days were a pain in the butt because you got to work, and you know it's work and sit and work and sit just to get that privilege of that fifth day. I like nothing better in the world than that fifth day. And to this day, when I'm sitting up there doing my scorebook and the starting pitcher hits that top step to go to the bullpen to warm up, I still get butterflies. I still get jitters. So to me, that was the greatest thrill. But the four other days were laborious. It was work.
To show how much you love this job, I remember after games, you used to go and talk to the pitchers. You still do that?
I still do that. Yeah, I love picking their brains. I know the game has passed me by in a lot of ways, but I love young pitchers. I was fortunate to have a Koufax, a Drysdale, an Osteen, a John Roseboro, mm-hmm. and a Maury Wills, who would, when the game was over, would tell me what I should look for. And just think about it, as a kid out of a small town in Alabama, to land on the Dodgers and to land with Roseboro behind the plate, Parker, Gilliam, Wills, and Lefevre in the infield.
Excellent infield.
That's pretty good infield. Yeah. And then to go in and sit in a dugout with three of the best starters ever in the history of the game, it was the best thing that could have ever happened to me, and I'll always be grateful to those guys. But one of the things, I asked Don Drysdale one night, why are you taking up the time with me? Which is a rude question from a rookie when you get right to it. And he said, because I hope someday you will pass it on. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, Erskine took care of me, Newcomb looked out for me, Joe Black looked out for me. And he said, that's the Dodger tradition. If a veteran player looks out, pass it on down the line. And so I've always remembered the lesson from Big D and from Sandy.
Don, let's talk about the Braves. On paper, I think they can win. What do you think?
I think it would be stretching the point a bit and wishful thinking to think you could go to the World Series. Mm-hmm. But I think this is the next step. I know that our friends in Las Vegas have picked 71.5, which cracks me up anyway because you can't win a half game. But 71.5, and I think that they're going to be better than that. I have a definite over in that. And I'd be surprised if they don't play 500 ball, and I think anything else is a bonus.
What do you think about the acquisition of Brandon Phillips?
I love Brandon Phillips. Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys that you look in that other dugout when he's playing against you, you want to wring his neck. And you look in your dugout when he's playing, you think, boy, am I glad to have him. Am I glad he's here? He's a winner. He's a competitor. He plays the game in a fun way. You can tell he enjoys coming to the ballpark. His enthusiasm is infectious. And I'm just glad he's wearing this uniform. He is, I think he's already done a great job, and I think he's a great partner for Dansby Swanson.
Talk about, what do you like about the team overall? You said it could be over 500. What do you like about it?
Well, number one, they're going to score runs. I know they got good pitching against them the first side of the season. They're going to score runs. Look at this lineup. It's extended. There's no place where you can say, I used to get the lineup card, and if I was pitching, I'd look and say, okay, where can I go to get it out? I'm not sure where I'd go in this lineup because everybody there can do something to you. Number two, they're going to catch the ball. Outfield can play. The infield's going to be good. And I think it's all going to come down to how good the starting pitching and the bullpen mesh. I think that it's a quality group of starters. And if the bullpen can find its niche and find its place, that's why I think they're going to win. But I think number one and number two, they're going to give you – I would have liked to have pitched for this ball club because you're going to – don't give up five and don't get knocked out before the fifth. You got a shot at winning here. And keep the ball in the park. These guys are going to catch it.
You were one of the most durable pitchers in baseball. I'd like to know why we don't see that today with a lot of pitchers.
I think that pitchers today are performing within the boundaries of the framework designed for them, not designed by them. And it starts with kids' baseball, where we are conditioned and we have taught the kids to be satisfied with less. I made a statement in spring training. We have lowered our expectations, and they are being met. So we don't, you don't tell a guy. We used to. Nowadays, I was looking at some stats the other day. Your quality pitchers are getting 13, 14, 15 innings in spring training, and then being told, give me 5 or 6 good innings opening day. We used to be told, I think I averaged about 28 to 30 innings in the spring. And we were told opening day, hey, go get them. It's yours. The expectations have changed, and I'm not sure why, and I'm not sure what the end expected result is, but we're having fewer innings, paying more, and more injuries. So to me, it's a business model that isn't working. But I know I'm a dinosaur, traditionalist, but I just wonder what the end accomplishment is expected to be. If it's to prevent injuries, that's not working. If it's to increase the quality of pitching all around, that's not working. So I'm not sure.
What advice would you give a young pitcher today, a kid in the little league? What advice would you give them?
Throw strikes. Don't try to be fancy. Don't play year-round. And play other sports. Enjoy being an athlete. There's only one time in your life you get to go through this stage. Enjoy it. I played basketball. I played football. Wasn't very good at either one. But I liked it. I like running cross country. Just participate in all sports and enjoy being a kid. But when you do go, let's say you're a pitcher, you do go to the mound, take it seriously. Great pitching coach Rad Adams once told me there are 4 things happen when you throw strikes and 3 of them are good. So I would tell them, learn to throw strikes. Don't try to throw 98 miles an hour. If you question what you're doing is good for your health, question it openly and don't do it.
Who was the person that gave you that work ethic? Who taught you to be durable?
My dad gave me my work ethic. He was a farmer and a construction worker, and I never saw him miss a day of work. So in all kinds of weather, he always went to work. And the guy that taught me how to pitch was a 6th grade teacher named Henry Roper. And he taught me those same things that I was just telling you. Throw strikes, be able to put the fastball where you want it, and be able to throw a curveball at any count. And he taught me my curveball. That was as a 6th grader. I've been throwing a curveball since I was 12 years old. But I think I was taught properly. I wasn't taught to get way out front and pull and do all this stuff. I was taught that a good breaking ball is made from early in your delivery, not late in your delivery. So I was fortunate to have him, and the very last day I pitched, I recalled lessons from Henry Roper, my 6th grade teacher.
Final question. How many more years you have left? It looks like you have a lot left.
Well, I couldn't back up third now. I couldn't cover first, but as long as I love what I'm doing, as long as I like coming to the park, and as long as I'm able to do it, I want to keep doing it. Because like we were talking about kids, there's only one walk through this life. My 52nd year in the big leagues. It's amazing when you think about it for a poor kid from South Alabama to spend 52 years in the big league. I don't want to give it up. I'm selfish. I don't want to give it up. It was a dream that I had then. It's a dream I worked hard to have come true. It's a dream I continue to work and try to prepare to see that it does. I'm content with my life. I'm content with who I am. I know I can never be Vin Scully, and I could never be any of those guys. But I know that nobody, not even those guys, loves the game more than I do, and loves the history of the game. And as long as I have the privilege of passing this game to people at home and the opportunity, I'll keep doing it.
One of the great guys in baseball, Don Sutton. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, my friend, and you are my friend.